Well, good morning. And warm welcome to you this morning. I say warm welcome, it's not that warm outside, is it? But here we are to worship, here we are to bow down to our light of the world. Things are a bit different this morning. So we are going to be having a communion service in here together for half an hour, and then we'll be going outside to sing some carols to the passing shoppers and give out some invitations to the candlelit service this evening. If you have been unwell or you're a bit unfirm about going outside, it's perfectly acceptable to stay in the warm in here and listen to the carols outside, and then we'll come back in and we'll have some hot refreshments out the back together, which will be very welcome, I'm sure. But just as we start the communion service, just going to watch a short DVD which perhaps sums up what this type of week can look like in the lead up to Christmas. So let's watch this.
Hey, welcome. I'm the Christmas search engine, and I can help you find anything related to
DIY Christmas decorations.
Oh, okay. Let's jump right in. Here we go.
What date Christmas this year?
December 25th.
What date Christmas next year?
December 25th.
Song that goes.
I think I know what you're looking for.
How cook ham?
Okay.
How cook ham fast? Ham flamethrower recipe.
Wait, what?
Christmas present, mom.
Nice.
Cheap.
Nice.
What day Christmas 2035?
Are you serious?
Is Santa Claus real?
You should maybe ask your parents about that.
Gift wrap bowling ball.
Please be careful.
Custom dog Christmas.
Sorry, what?
Christmas dog custom cute.
Oh, you mean costume?
Christmas dog costume cute!
Gift wrap accordion.
That's gonna be tricky.
Can I drink expired eggnog?
No.
What happens if drank expired eggnog?
Why'd you even ask me in the first place?
Dealing with relatives.
Okay.
Dealing with nosy relatives.
Well...
Dealing with my nosy, overbearing relatives who won't stay out of my business. Sorry.
Yeah, it's pretty much all the same stuff.
Gift wrap a saddle.
Who are you buying this stuff for?
Santa Claus riding a unicorn. Santa Claus riding a unicorn socks.
Is that a thing?
Search it up.
Oh, wow. Here they are.
Take my money.
Norwegian tree skirts.
How many lights, one outlet?
Elf pajamas.
Dog singing Christmas carols.
Oh. Hello.
What is Christmas really about?
I've got just the thing.
An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
So, Jesus?
Jesus.
May I?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
How fix burnt ham?
Okay.
You know what? Forget it. Pizza delivery Christmas Eve.
No problem.
We're going to sing to that Jesus that is the meaning of Christmas, a couple of songs. I'm just going to pray as we start our service before we sing. Let's pray together. Father, we recognize that the meaning of Christmas is Jesus. And amongst all the stuff that we have to do, all the other traditions and things that we feel appear on our task list each week, we don't want to forget that. And we don't want to forget too, Father, that you came with a purpose, that we are broken people with broken lives, and that you came with a purpose to restore us. And Father, we do pray this Christmas that we would, all of us as individuals, have a fresh engagement with that risen Jesus, to reach into our lives and take those bits that we're struggling with at the moment, that sin in our lives, that stuff that we find hard to deal with, that you would restore us. And we're grateful that that God who loved us through his grace sent his Son to be born incarnate, to come as a man on a restoration mission. And we remember that as we gather around the table this morning. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Do feel free to stand or sit as you feel comfortable and able, but if you're able to join me, we're going to start by singing to that God who lives. Let's stand and sing Because He Lives.
Oh, yeah.
Father, we are grateful that you did conquer that grave and that you came as a baby, but you left victorious, having conquered everything that we could face in our lives, all the problems, all the troubles. And Father, we ask now that at this Christmas time, you would pour out your grace to us now. And as we come to gather around this table, we remember the cost and the sacrifice that was made for us to be restored. And we're grateful, Father. Amen. Do be seated.
Our thanks to Richard and the worship team for leading us thus far in our worship. And indeed, our God is mighty to save. Amen. He is mighty to save. Richard mentioned that the Lord Jesus came into this world because he had a very significant purpose to fulfill. And this morning, as we approach this table of sacrifice and love, we are reminded of that great purpose that the Lord Jesus came to fulfill. I want to call your attention to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, and I'll commence reading from verse number 1. And it reads, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, 'Where is the one? Where is the one? Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.'" Where is the one? The wise men asked. "We have come to worship him." Now, church, what does the wise men have to do with communion? Perhaps maybe wondering, there is no link between Matthew chapter 2 and communion. Well, I want to briefly share this morning that there is a great link between the wise men and communion. Because as those wise men who were following that star from the east, we don't know too much about them. They're described as being wise. And they had come to Jerusalem and they had one question to ask Herod. Where is he? They were specific in their question. Where is he, Jesus? We have come to worship him. And I want to leave with you this morning just three brief points as to why the wise men are significant to communion. And why they are so significant to Christmas. Number one, the wise men, they teach us that Christmas is about worship. Can we say that together? Christmas is about worship. Worship that carries the idea of being intimate. Not intimacy that we understand from a human level between a man and a woman, but it is the allowance of the divine to invite us as his people into his holy presence without any hindrance. He welcomes us into his holy Shekinah presence. And that is a blessing that we enjoy. That God welcomes us, whoever we are, with open arms, and he receives us into his presence. So whenever we worship God, we behold the beauty of his holy, pure, and perfect presence. And the wise men were looking, they were seeking the Holy One, born King of the Jews. And they had come to worship him. But worship, not only does it carry the idea of intimacy into the presence of God, but it also carries the idea of worth. We worship him because he is worth something. He is worthy to receive our worship. Whenever we worship, what we do, we place a high level of worth to whatever we worship. And the question that we have to ask, we all have to ask ourselves this Christmas season, is Jesus the number one? Is he number one on our Christmas list? Or are there other things in the way that are buying for our attention? Because we always worship the things that we deem are worthy in our lives. The wise man says, we've come to worship him. Herod couldn't understand that because he was the king and he was used to people giving him adoration and praise. But they had come to worship Jesus. And I want to encourage us all this morning that may this Christmas season, whatever we have planned over the next few weeks, I pray that Jesus is number one on the list. Don't allow all the other festivities block the view of Christ Jesus this Christmas. They've come to worship him, number one. But two, Christmas is also not about just worship, but it's about giving. Can we say giving? The wise men came from the east. They came to worship him. But then further down in chapter 2, when they finally arrived in the house where Jesus was, they didn't come empty-handed, but they came bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They teach us that Christmas is about giving. And may that be the sentiment of our hearts this Christmas season, that we don't just stand in the receiving position. What have you done for me lately? What are you going to get me for Christmas? I wonder what you've got me this year. But we should have the posture like the wise men. We've come bearing gifts to the one who's been born King of the Jews. And not only should we seek to be a blessing through our giving to the Lord, but we must also seek to be a blessing to each other, to those who are not as fortunate as we are. We must seek to help those in need and to bring the hope and the light of Jesus Christ to those who are needy and those who are poor. Christmas is about worship. Christmas is about giving. But we also see here, and here's the link to communion, that Christmas is also, the wise men teach us, about sacrifice. Can we say sacrifice? Yes, yeah, sacrifice. Where do I see this? Well, one of those gifts have a direct meaning and a link to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that is the gift of myrrh. Myrrh. Now, myrrh is interesting because in the ancient world, myrrh was used. It was used, number one, as an incense. It was used as sometimes as fragrance. But secondly, it was used as an embalming fluid. Embalming fluid. They would use it to anoint dead bodies. So why would the wise men give an alive baby Jesus myrrh that can be used as embalming fluid? I believe the wise men had some foreknowledge that this baby had a great purpose in his life. And one day he will become the substitutionary atonement for God. He's going to stand in the very gap between humanity and God and pay the price for our sins on the cross. So before time, we're going to present him with embalming fluid because his body is going to be crushed. His body is going to be wounded. His body is going to be broken. For Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years prior that he would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement, the correction of our peace would be upon Jesus Christ. And with his stripes, you and I will be healed. So this Christmas, may it be about worship, may it be about giving, but may it also be symbolic of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ would evidently and ultimately make for the sins of the world. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth, he commends to the church the sacrament of communion, this meal that is a token and a symbol of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he invites us this morning to partake of this meal for all those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You are invited to partake of this meal. And friends, if you have not yet come to that position for yourself, then I would encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by until you come to that full knowledge of Jesus Christ for yourself. Amen. I'm going to invite one of our deacons to come now, and Graham's going to come and lead a prayer of thanks for the bread and for the wine. And all deacons who are serving, please do join me.
Lord, Father God, we thank you for sending your Son. And it sounds rather bizarre that we should celebrate his death at the moment of his birth. Lord, Father God, we just thank you that that's the reason that you sent Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
To take our sins at the cross. So, as we partake of your Son, Jesus' body and blood, let us take that into our hearts. Not just death on the cross, but at this Christmas time, our new birth. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
On the night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said, "This is my body. Take and eat it, for this is my body which was broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me." Friends, as you are now served with what represents the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, please do eat as you receive it and be very thankful for your blessed salvation. Amen. Okay. Just one. Bless you. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. In like manner, he then took the cup, said these words, "This cup will be the new covenant that will now be in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and we drink from this cup, and church we do show forth, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes back again. As you are served with what represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, please do retain your cup until we've all been served, and then we'll drink together as a sign of our Christian unity. For we are one through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we partake together now what represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us drink now and be very thankful. Amen. The Bible lets us know that after they had partaken of the meal, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and there they sang a hymn. And in like manner, we are going to do that now as we return to song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. please do take your seats. We're going to prepare shortly to go out into the high street and to sing some Christmas carols and to share the light and the hope of Jesus in our community. Just a notice before we do so, after we have gone outside and we've concluded our time of singing carols, if I could just call on a few people, probably some of the men, if you could just help me after, just to move one of the sofa chairs from the hub into the sanctuary in preparation for tonight. So thank you. Thank you. If you can help me after, that would be great. Thank you. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you. Thank you, Ken. That would be great. And as we prepare to leave, let us remember, in the spirit of the wise men, Christmas is about worship. We've come to worship him. Christmas is about giving. And let's seek to be a blessing to others this Christmas. But third and finally, may we always remember why he came. Why he came. To be the sacrifice. The heavenly sacrifice and the atonement for our sins. Amen. Amen.
If any of the young people have had a birthday this week, now's a really good time to visit the birthday box. I'm sorry that you've had a birthday in the same week as Christmas week. That must be awkward. But if there is anyone, I wouldn't want you to leave this morning without getting a gift from the box. But you have. Come on up then and have a look. You're coming right. So when's your birthday? This Thursday coming? This Thursday coming. And how old will you be?
Seven.
Ah, well, we shall sing happy birthday to you. And if you'd like to have a look in the box, and then we hope you have a very happy birthday on Thursday when you're seven. Okay?